Welcome to Modern Practice, the podcast that covers the latest issues and challenges you face as clinicians today. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva. And in our next two episodes, we'll focus on the care disparities in the wake of the COVID-19 outbreak. We know that social determinants of health are huge factors in care availability and outcomes. The effects of the pandemic on healthcare of racial and ethnic minority groups is still emerging. However, current data suggests a disproportionate burden of illness and death among racial and ethnic minority groups. A recent CDC report included race and ethnicity data for 580 patients hospitalized with lab-confirmed COVID-19. Of these patients, 33% were Black, though they only represented 18% of the population study. In contrast, 45% of the patients were white, even though whites made up nearly 60% of the population. Hispanic patients comprised 8% of those hospitalized and represented 14% of the population. In other words, from this report, we can see that Black patients showed up with COVID-19 way out of proportion to their numbers in the population. In the next two episodes, we'll examine such care disparities, and helping me do this is a returning guest, Kelly Goodson. Kelly, tell us a little bit about your background and your current role here at Vizient.
Sure. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be back with you today. I am a performance improvement program director with Vizient, and I've been with the company for over 20 years in various positions, but really in the last 9 years, I have been working on quality improvement programs for CMS. We've had two contracts with CMS where we're helping both hospitals and ambulatory clinics and physician practices improve the quality of their healthcare delivery and really make strides in transforming our healthcare to be, more patient-centered and more equitable.
Thanks, Kelly, and we're glad you're here. So let's get right to it. What exactly is social determinants of health? I think I understand.
Sure. I really like to use the Kaiser Family Foundation definition, which really states that the conditions in which people are born, grow, live, work, and age are the social determinants that shape health. So they include factors like socioeconomic status, education, the neighborhood and physical environment, your employment, your social support networks. It's really all the non-medical aspects of our life. And they really break it down into six categories of economic stability, neighborhood and physical environment, education, food, community and social context, and then finally, the healthcare system.
So as a physician, I've always looked at things medically, the physiology, how I treat things pharmacologically. But how does this relate to healthcare directly when I'm looking at it through my clinician goggles, if you will?
It really can be hard to relate these social determinants to healthcare itself. The easiest one, obviously, to understand is access to care, but that really only accounts for 10 to 20% of a person's health outcomes. Genetics, the environment that people live in, and as I said, are born into, and their personal behaviors account for the rest. So let's talk about a couple examples. So I mentioned food, right? So it's the access that you have to healthy food options. It's the cost of those food items and what you can afford. We talk a lot about food insecurity. Do you know when your next meal will be, or have you missed a meal in the last week or so? So access to food really has a huge relationship to your health and healthcare, right? Even thinking about education. So the educational opportunities that you have, the quality of education that you get relates directly to, health literacy and knowing about your health condition, knowing about what you're at risk for, and really understanding how to live a healthy life and focus on healthy behaviors comes directly from education. One more example is in your neighborhood and your physical environment. It's part of that built environment you may hear people talk about. It's having access to safe playgrounds and walking trails, and that directly relates to your ability to exercise every day. So it's really actually quite easy to look at these social determinants and relate them to healthcare.
So wait a minute, I'm actually seeing the link here. So what you're saying is the way we live, learn, work, and play affects our health and needs to be part of the equation when I'm trying to deal with a patient.
Yes, yeah, very much so. Among others, VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, studied life expectancy in different cities. They actually mapped life expectancy in about 20, I think it was 20 or 21 cities. And they found that in some cases, life expectancy can differ by as much as 20 years based on the neighborhood that you live in. And it can be only about 5 miles apart from one another. So probably the most well-known case is in Chicago, where this work that VCU did, they mapped this life expectancy and it was based on train stops. So the life expectancy in South Chicago is 16 years less than those who live to the north in the Loop, if you're familiar with Chicago. And it really illustrates how health expressed as your mortality, the years of life, is shaped by your social environment and factors where you live, work, learn, and play. It literally costs people years of their life.
You know, the current pandemic brought to light the significant disproportions of COVID-19 infections among Black patients compared to their white counterparts. What are your thoughts behind that? And I actually would like some more clarity. I mean, is it a fact of having to do with healthcare coverage, or is it from serving positions that are considered essential workers in multiple industries?
Well, you know, Tom, unfortunately, I was not surprised. I think those of us that have examined this really were not surprised, but it's great that it brought to light what many of us know, but a great majority of us do not know or may not know that health disparities exist in the United States. So it really isn't just one thing. It would be great if we could just point to one thing and say, oh, there it is, and we can fix that. But it really is just about everything. Social determinants of health really determines your healthcare coverage, your access to healthcare, your education, your access to good jobs. And let's talk about that for a second, the jobs, since you mentioned being essential workers, right?
Right.
CNN reported actually that less than 30% of workers can actually work from home. And it really differs hugely by race and ethnicity. So they actually broke it down. And I thought this was important, so wanted to bring this into the conversation today. So 30% of Asian workers were able to work from home, 30% of white workers, but only 20% of Black or African-American workers, and 16% of Hispanic or Latino workers were able to work from home.
Wow. Going back to the study, Kelly, it's important to note that there was no difference in patient outcomes based on their race or ethnicity, but had everything to do with their comorbidities, if you will. How does this relate to social determinants of health? And was there an opportunity to address this before the pandemic occurred?
Well, yes, it definitely relates. And we've had plenty of opportunity to address this issue. And I wanted to give you a little historical context, because we've been studying this issue for three centuries.
Really?
I mean, the first occurrence of observation that looked at socio-environmental factors related to health was done in Italy, like I said, over three centuries ago. So it's really not a new issue, but really it's been the epidemiology that have been studying this and researchers, and it really hasn't translated to practice. So, it was in the 80s when a certain country made its first attempt to systematically study and understand health inequities, and that was actually Great Britain. And they wrote a report that was known as the Black Report. And it emphasized the need to improve the physical and social environment in which poor and lower classes live. You know, in the United States in 1984, our own U.S. Department of Health and Human Services did a report that documented that while the health of the nation overall was okay, the majority of disparities existed with our minority communities. And in response to this report, they had a task force that gathered in 1985 and released another report. We've done lots of reports and studies, but it did significantly raise the awareness of disparities that exist in the United States, specifically the Black population versus the white population. In the late 90s is really where we started to pick up. The scientific evidence was building, and I think everybody knows about the To Err Is Human, came out in 1999, followed by Crossing the Quality Chasm in 2001. And that was important because it laid out six aims for healthcare: to be safe, effective, patient-centered, timely, efficient, and equitable. And progress has been made on all of these except for equity. It's been called the forgotten aim. And if you need proof of this, you can simply read the latest Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality National Healthcare Quality and Disparities Report. That's a mouthful. But if you just do an online search for AHRQ Disparities Report, it will come up and you can see how, although quality of care has improved, it has not improved for everyone. And as many as 40% of the 250 quality measures that they studied, that's fully 100 quality measures, where Black and American Indian, Alaska Native, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander populations receive worse care than their white counterparts. And just to mention one thing, the report highlights the disparity between Black and white patients regarding the timely administration of medicine for treating heart attacks. Now, that's been evidence-based medicine for quite a while, yet we still have a disparity in how we treat patients with even our evidence-based practice.
Kelly, we've reached the end of this episode, but we'll be back next episode to finish our discussion. Thanks for taking the time for joining us today. And to our listeners, please join us for other Modern Practice podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast on the latest in healthcare strategies. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thanks for listening.